Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 139. In this episode, we're going to look at the best SEO plugins for your membership or community website, but also we're going to be looking at the very changing landscape of SEO in 2025. There's been some dramatic changes. So in the first half of the show, we're going to look at those changes and give you some advice and insight. And then in the second half, we're going to be looking at some of the best SEO plugins, that a couple of them that we recommend, some of them we don't. And we'll be explaining it all. I've got my great co-host with me, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Hey, folks. Kurt Von Annen here. I own a company called Mañana No Más. We also work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back. I also want to take the opportunity, folks, to say that we've got a great course at a great offer price that shows you how to build a website on WordPress, a membership website, from beginning to end. It's actually done by Kirk himself. It's normally around $50, but if you go to this particular page, you can get it at half price, around $29. Plus, if you buy the course, you will get 50% off the first year of the WP Tonic starter hosting plan, which normally retails at $420, but you get it at half price. It's a fabulous offer, the course and the hosting package. You can get both by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. And a load of other freebies and great stuff from the sponsors. What more could you ask for? So, Kurt, let's go straight into it. So if you're doing one of your great consultations and somebody brought up the subject of SEO, what would be your initial response to the inquiry?
The initial response to the inquiry would probably be a lot like that sigh sound I just made. SEO, I'll be honest, I have to be super transparent here. SEO is not naturally one of my strengths. I kind of fall into that category that's like, well, you know, do you have decent content? Do you do content on a regular basis? Do you follow like that white hat idea of SEO, of like good content for people, adds value, bam. But then there's all this other SEO stuff on the back end. So for me, I want to make sure that my clients come to the table with decent content, all that stuff. But then when it comes to the more advanced SEO stuff, I have people on my team that kind of help run some programs for me. And I know that you're very active in SEO as well on the WP Tonic side. So I go mostly with, do you have content? Do you have stuff? Do you have stuff to work with? And then from there, it's like, what are some base tools and best practices. I got to be honest, Jonathan, when I talk to other providers in the space, I hear a lot of things that make me question, like, is that legit? Is that real? Is that going to get penalized later by the gods at Google? The idea that we are all in this boat and we're subject to the whims of this giant organization as far as where we rank. And I know you're going to bring it up later, but like that latest change with the 100-page thing, that to me is like, if you invested a bunch of money in these tools and you were following a certain strategy, one that I probably don't advise very well, that could have very well taken a lot of steam out of your plan. And so you always have to be on your toes. I go with content first. Do you have the content? Are you committed to making good content? And then if the answers are yes, then we've got a strategy we can employ using best practices.
Yeah, I think Kirk is remarking about a change that recently come this week where Google is not going to provide the data of the up to over 100 websites, their position. They're only going to show the top 10, and it does affect a number of quasi-professional SEO tools like Ahrefs or Rush or SEMrush. There's about four or five of these professional level tools. And I'm not that surprised, actually. I've got to delve into it myself in a little bit more detail. But I've got to say, I'm not that surprised. Now, I think when it comes to SEO, obviously Google still has a tremendous dominance over search, but they, over a year ago, they introduced AI overviews, and I can see it in my own traffic, which impressions are articles or content that you have published to your website is being indexed, is being seen by Google, has gone up dramatically for the WP Tonic website. The impressions have dramatically increased. Unfortunately, the clicks, links that take people to the WP Tonic website have diminished by a third, even though the impressions have gone up double. Yeah. I've increased because I produce a lot of content, and Kirk knows I put a lot of effort into it. But people are reporting that all over the internet. And obviously people are using ChatGPT and Claude or Gemini when it comes to Google to do searches. But I think the main thing that's affected search volume has been Google's AI overviews. It has had a dramatic effect. So in the way it's linked to AI, but it's really mostly linked to the way Google has used AI overviews. And also, this is a fluid state area. They were giving a lot, and they still are, a lot of real estate to forums like Reddit and other similar, but a lot of attention to Reddit. There are techniques that you can employ that there's what is called top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel. I used to do, still do, but I'm trying to get my mindset so I really concentrate more on bottom funnel. And what that really means is top of funnel is very generalistic content that answers very broad questions. Middle gets more specific and niche. And bottom of the funnel is either people are really looking for a specific product or looking at two specific products, and they're very close to actually buying something. That is the classical way of explaining bottom of funnel. But it is a dramatically changing climate. Also, you've got the large learning models, and basically, when they're recommending products, they're basically looking at the landscape of links, of mentions on third party websites. Are you producing a lot of video? Are you on the major social media platforms? Do you do video? Do you do podcasting? Are there a lot of people recommending your product? they're trying to judge where your brand and your product is positioned in the market. And this can seem quite more sophisticated than Google, but actually there's a lot of information from the SEO community that in some ways it is much more difficult to judge how the large learning models are making their judgment call. But it's also quite evident in a lot of cases it's more simplistic than traditional SEO. It's a bit of a contradiction there. So am I making any sense here, Kurt?
You are, and I just want to drive the listeners and viewers back to something that you said in your answer or your description there, Jonathan, and that was this idea of the difference between impressions and clicks. Because, you know, I talk to general people a lot. Because say you go to an entrepreneur meetup or you go somewhere and someone's like, oh, our impressions are going through the roof, you know, and they seem happy about it. But I don't think people have made the recognition yet that impressions doesn't equate to any viable business metric, really. It doesn't equate to conversions. It doesn't equate to your point, to the clicks. I mean, we need the impressions, I guess, to lead to a click, right? But very, it seems like the impressions metric has just kind of like vanished off of the strong consideration. Whereas 15 years ago, if you saw, well, I've got so many impressions on a Facebook post, you'd be excited. You know, I've got so many impressions on this blog post. You'd be like, that's great. And now it's like you see these impressions and you're like, well, that could be from anything crawling my website.
Yeah, I think they do matter to some extent, but they are impressions, and impressions on all social media is a kind of quasi vanity metric, but it does still have some importance in brand building. But that very tight connection of, if you get more impressions, you will get more clicks, has been broken. Now, obviously, it was a lot more complicated than that because you could get a lot of people come to your website or come to some of the major pages of your website, but because through bad copy, bad page layout, poor speed, a number of different elements, you might not be able to convert them. Or the other factor, which is not properly taken into account, if you're at top of funnel, a lot of these people might not be in really at the position to actually buy your product, your service, e-commerce, what we offer at WP Tonic. There was no guarantee that they were in the buying journey at the right stage. A lot of them would read the article, or they would hit a web page and they would bounce straight off. So it's a difficult one, but it's definitely made things much more complicated. And I think one of the other factors, and I might be wrong here, is that at the present moment, especially some content expert and SEO expert, they brought out this term AEO called Answer Engine Optimization. And I'm not totally sure about it. I think you should still produce content, but I think video, I produce a lot of video content. I try and mix it with the articles, try and do podcasts like this one. And I've been going on other people's podcasts. That's a good external link building morphology. But that will take time. And I'm doing a couple of other things. Obviously, I think traditional SEO has a place. But I think at this clear connection between, you get this volume of traffic, you will get this volume of purchases, has been broken to some extent. What do you reckon?
I agree with the phrase broken. I think more people are more people are confused than ever compared to people that seem to have a grasp of the concept just a few years ago. I'm curious, if you were to compare like today's AI to an old method of SEO, what would you describe as the old method of SEO?
Well, I would say it was keyword stuffing, concentrating on high volume keywords.
Yeah.
That obviously you needed domain authority. Domain authority is a large metrics of how old the domain is, how long have a person owned the domain, how long have they been giving signals to Google that they're a legitimate company, individual, business. And that gave you a domain value. And if you tried to compete on certain keywords with other domains that had a much larger external link print and had higher domain authority and some other metrics, you probably couldn't really compete. That's been turning its head in some ways because with some basic SEO techniques, you can now be more competitive to very established websites, which normally you wouldn't stand a chance.
Yeah,
because the large learning models don't really care about domain authority. They don't. It's not something they're concerned about. Gemini, Claude, ChatGPT, they're not concerned about domain authority. That's one of the strange factors, is that if they don't seem to utilize that, are they using external link authority? That's a difficult one. I think if it's high quality links, probably. But I think Google had been utilizing AI for much longer than people realize, because the last 5 to 6 years, they had been decreasing their reliance on external link quality as a way of determining a page quality or website quality. And the reason they were doing that, Kurt, was that they knew that there was a whole industry that was utilizing what is called gray hat SEO or black hat.
Yeah,
I call it grey hat, and they were basically, and to some degree, it's still there, and it's called parasite SEO. But they were using techniques to build external link structures that were fooling Google, because Google has to use technology, and they do have a large team of human assessors, but. It might be very large, but the internet is enormous. So, but they knew that the results, they were being fooled by these networks. So they were using AI and large language models to actually determine the actual language of articles and using that technology to make an assessment on the quality. And they were diminishing the reliance on external links.
Yeah, it was funny because as you were talking, I was thinking way back, like 95, 96, 97. I remember there would be like footers. It would be like a blue footer and then a bunch of blue words in the blue footer. That was all the keywords stuffed in the bottom, right? And then that kind of faded away. And then people went to like backlinks or link farms or directory pages that, you know, listed categories of things, right? And then that kind of faded away. And now it seems like it's much more based upon, I think, the quality and the structure of your content and the way that they're using AI to analyze that more effectively. But then there's also SEO tools that help elevate beyond that. Is that a way to say things in a way that makes sense?
Yeah, in a way, but I think even the high-end Ahrefs, Rush, Moz, they're the three biggies that I know about. I think they're becoming less relevant. I think they know it as well. But I think, you know, looking at the competition, looking what they've written, I look at a particular subject I might write, and I look at the competition and I look at something called the Skyscraper, and I basically I look at the three leading articles or the five leading articles. I look at what are the particular topics, what might be missing. And there was a guy called Brian Dean that produced this concept of the Skyscraper. And basically, I just utilize AI and editing, and I try and produce an article that's better in content. And then I mix it up with video as well. Another factor that probably is going to become something I've been looking at, but I haven't really adopted, is placing what is called micro web apps on the page, little applications that can give more information about the topic that you're writing about. There's a number of AI tools. Lovable is one of them, and there's about half a dozen of them. I'll probably look at that to kind of build these mini applications on particular content pages. There's one tool that I do utilize, but I'll be talking about that in the second half. And that gives you a general idea on how competitive a particular subject is.
Yeah.
And I don't choose very, very competitive terms because my domain authority, but I'm not even sure about that, because linked to my remark that the large learning models don't seem to take domain authority so as an important indicator now.
Well, you know, this is interesting to me, Jonathan, because as you know, in my own personal space, I have tried to increase my local SEO, my local searchability. And so, you know, I've begun playing with some different tools, and I went into some AI tools. I like Grok. So I asked Grok, I said, hey, who would you recommend to make a website in my town? And it made three recommendations and I wasn't one of them. And then I said, well, so why didn't you recommend Mañana No Más? And then it came up, said, oh, Mañana No Más is this great company. And they listed all these great, wonderful things about Mañana No Más. But then it said, I didn't recommend Mañana No Más because of X, Y, Z and this company, this and this company, that. And I was like, okay. And then I said, so.
Well, are you prepared to give one or two of the reasons that it gave you that you wouldn't recommend, or you rather keep that to yourself?
Well, so this is the interesting part. When I first did this exercise, I then asked Grok, I said, how did you make the determination to recommend those three and not Mañana No Más? And it said the primary, the primary recommendation source was, it said it lists three things. And the first thing was search engine recommendations, right? So this is in the middle of everyone saying, well, SEO is dead. Like, yeah, how many times do we see it? SEO is dead. And I'm like, well, SEO is obviously not dead because the large learning model, the LLM just said it was the primary way that it made recommendations. And then I said, well, how can I make this is when I first started this journey. How can I make my site more attractive to large learning models in searches? And it came up with stuff. It said, you don't list your hometown in your X listing, right? So Mañana No Más, it didn't say Hutchinson, Kansas. It said the same thing. It said, so change your X profile, change your Facebook profile, change your YouTube profile, change your LinkedIn profile. Make sure you mention your town in all of your profiles. I said, okay, well, that makes sense. Because I had been entertaining national business for so long, I hadn't focused on local. Right. And so it said, do these recommendations. I did that. Then it said, if you're part of the Chamber of Commerce, you should take your Chamber of Commerce headshot picture, you know, profile picture, whatever, and put that on the homepage of your website and reference your local Chamber of Commerce. Well, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce. So that made total sense. I put that on the homepage and then I rechecked. And so about every month or so, I go back in and I ask Grok and I ask ChatGPT and I ask Perplexity, who would you recommend locally? And slowly but surely, I'm starting to climb up and become some of the recommendations. But I've had to work really hard at it. But it's when people say SEO is dead, I'm like, well, it's obviously not dead. It's
well, obviously, we're not going to, we might, I don't know if this is the right show to discuss it. We had a show on another podcast we both do together where we discussed local SEO quite a bit. I'll make sure the link to that show that we did last week is in the show notes. But local SEO is a bit different to regional and national. But the things it was recommending to you is good advice, because it would be the same advice I would give you around local SEO if I was trying to rank for a particular local area. So I agree everything they were telling you.
Well, it was interesting to me that, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, according to the large learning models, those were all websites of authority. Those are all things where they said, these are the spots, right? And it didn't even mention like local business directories. It went straight for...
Well, it depends on the industry, really, Kurt, but they've been supplanted in a lot of areas by the social media platforms. But they're not totally... It does really depend on industry to industry. I think this is a good place for us to stop for the first half. When we come back for the second half, we actually will be looking at some of the WordPress plugins that you can utilize on your membership website and give our honest feedback of what me and Kirk thinks of them. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Coming back, folks, we've had a feast of knowledge in the first half. Hopefully I've not left you too behind. If you've got any questions, I've got a great free resource where you can put them. If you have got questions, obviously you can leave them in the comments if you're watching this show on YouTube, or we've got another great free way to answer any questions that might come in your mind about this episode, and that's the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. It's totally free. Go to Facebook, put in the Membership Show Facebook group, and it will come up, and you can join for free. It's a great resource, totally free. Got any questions, you can put them, and we will attempt to answer them for you. So let's go and look at some of these plugins. So I would say the big daddy, the big gorilla in SEO still is Yoast SEO, the free and the pro version. So before I put my comments, what are your views on Yoast?
This might not go over very well. Using it seems easy, but that's the problem, I think, with it, is that too many people see these things and they go, oh, it's easy. And then Yoast, especially with green light, yellow light, red light, right? Everyone's chasing these green lights. I actually did some technical writing for a client, and I consider myself a pretty decent writer. Like, I don't need AI to get the inspiration. Like, I can write. And so I wrote something. Then it was like, well, now we need to conform it to this SEO tool. And I got to tell you, chasing the green lights with something you've already written, that is a real task. And what we had happen was I was real happy with the piece. And then we started changing this. And then we changed the title. And then we changed the byline. And then we changed the H2s. Then we changed the... Jonathan, by the time we were done, the voice of the product was not... It wasn't cohesive. It wasn't my voice. It certainly wasn't my voice. And I felt like we were trying to make something other than a human happy. Like, it didn't seem like a quality informative piece anymore. It seemed kind of cobbled together to implement some tooling that, to me, the effect of SEO should be that that you write something for someone in your audience and they should enjoy it. And I don't feel that, I think the overuse of Yoast took the human enjoyment out of what the content was.
I think they encouraged that with their green, amber, and red light system. which is kind of gamification, and it encourages people to try and get a total green. And I think having the particular keyword, that's why you look. I look at particular titles, and then I find a particular main titles, a subject title. I check it for how competitive it would be, and I might manipulate it a little bit, but the key phrase will be in the title, and the meta description is important. I think having some keywords in the H2s is important as well, but don't overdo it, and don't attempt to get an article by using Yoast that you get total green, because it will drive you bonkers, basically.
I did not enjoy the experience.
No, but and you shouldn't do it, because and it won't help anyway. It basically they also do things around redirection, other backend things that are pretty ugly. I don't rate it as a plugin, to be quite truthful. I would never recommend anybody to use it. The free, the pro, I think, is a total waste of money. It has a load of add-ons that I just don't think it's the best. I think it dominated the market, and the people that founded the company sold it a couple of years ago. They got out just at the right moment. I think they saw the writing on the wall. And I just wouldn't recommend it now. I actually think around some of the things it does around the back end and to the database and around redirection, it could be damaging, actually. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I come at it from the consumer perspective, and that is, you know, it's like these Squarespace ads. Hey, have a website up in 10 minutes and be in business. And it's like, and we know that that's false. And I feel that way. It's like that with this. It's install it. It's easy. All you have to do is follow the lights. And it's like, no, it's not that easy. I found it very complicated, actually, to get traction with it, especially using it for a client.
Yeah, it's just really the title, the meta description, some of the H2s, having some structure and making sure that you answer some of the key, that you look at some of the articles and you write out a title layout where you can answer put certain sections. And it's really important now at the top to answer the main question in a summary right at the top, or put a video, mix it with video, mix it with a summary, have some frequently asked question section. And make sure that you answer the question at the top, the key question, and don't flannel it out too much. I think as long as you keep to those basic concepts, you're going to be reasonably okay. You really got to invest in some powerful SEO tools to move it. I have, but I chose to buy those tools, and you know I use a number of tools, and I spend a lot of time on this. It's been really painful over the last 8 months. I've just plodded along. I've increased video. I've seen a decline. It's been very painful, but I've also learned and adapted. But it's been painful for everybody in this sector. On to the next one, the all-in-one SEO, AIO SEO, it's free and pro. I despise this even more than Yoast. It's a godforsaken plugin that you please don't install the free, and don't, and for God's sake, don't buy their pro version. No, the Yoast, the pro is $118 a year. That was the price when I did my research on this over the weekend. The all-in-one SEO, you know, they've got a free version, but the basic then is $99, and then they go up to $199, and then $399, and it's got an army of add-ons. It's like installing WooCommerce, and it really will F your website up big time it will some of these add-ons will slow your website to treacle. They conflict with other major plugins. It is a nightmare, in my opinion. The company behind it, I despise. Please don't use it. That's all. But that's my opinion, folks. That's my opinion. I would not recommend it.
My critique might be a little less toxic than yours. I've used the free version almost successfully on the free version. Where I have experienced issues was looking at a pre-existing client's website. We could not get the page speed working right.
You know,
performance out of it.
You know.
and you know, we start auditing the plugins, and they have like every add-on, you know, in there that you could imagine. And I'm like, how in the world are there like 10 things in here for all-in-one SEO?
It's ridiculous.
As we deactivated the all-in-one SEO plugins, the performance of the site began to increase. Of course, clearing the cache with each change. And we saw that this had been bogging down the website tremendously. And so is there a conflicting plugin that caused that? Is there this? Everyone's going to say, well, what if it was this? What if it was that? But here's what I'm here to tell you. When we turned off the all-in-one SEO add-ons, the site began to behave more like a regular site. And
you
so,
do not need to have 10 plus add-ons on an SEO plugin. As other people who have a different opinion, they will attack me. I just don't believe it. I see no reason for this madness at all.
Yeah. So like I said, my own personal experience, I have used the free version of all-in-one SEO successfully. Like, it's worked. We've put it in, hasn't locked up the website. You know, and then results vary, right? Depends on the work you put into it. Jonathan already said this takes time, takes dedication, research, all of this to make these SEO tools work. So when it comes down to which tool is the best, I personally struggle because I think there's so much to do, in the space as far as the labor goes with these tools.
Yeah. On to the next one. That also has an add-on model, but it's nowhere as bad, in my opinion, as all-in-one. That's Rank Math. It's also better price in the pro. I'm not sure if they do a free version. I presume they do. But they've got a pro for $6.99, business at $20.99, agency $49.99, paid annually. It's okay, actually. It's not the one I'm going to recommend. They've got a very good YouTube channel. And also the website, they've got a ton of resources, written resources, tutorials, and it's good content, actually. They've spent a lot of money and time on their educational content, and a lot of it is good, right? And they've got a really strong YouTube channel, and they've got some good content on there. Obviously, there's no shortage of SEO tutorial and content on the internet. But a lot of it, this is aimed at the beginner intermediate. I find a lot of the SEO content on the Aref YouTube channel or Rush or Majestic or Moss, a lot of it's high end. When I'm listening to some of the leaders, they all tend to use Aref, but they only use about 3 particular elements of Aref. You know, it's got about 100 different reference points, but most people only use 2 to 3. The 3 that you're using can differ, but they only use like 3 clear metrics, even when they're doing consultation for clients or running SEO campaigns. So I wouldn't object to somebody using it. I don't think I've been involved with somebody using it on a live website, so I can't tell if it slows the website. I would hope it doesn't have the effects of Yoast or the other one we talked about. I don't think Yoast kind of slows. I just think it encourages awful SEO and a total time waste. And it also does bad back-end things to your redirects and that. And they had a tremendous security flaw in it as well, which came up a couple of years ago, and they suppressed it for over a year, not telling people that they knew they had a major security flaw, and they suppressed it. And yeah, I haven't got much time for Yoast, to be quite truthful about it. But Rank Math, I think of the other two that we've talked about, I think Rank Math's a lot better. What do you reckon?
The thing that drew me to Rank Math, if we go back in the time machine, there was a time where I was somewhat addicted to WordPress meetups. I was going to a ton of WordPress meetups. And PostStatus and the WordPress Slack. And for a while there, a few years ago, Rank Math was just the darling of the people in that space. And so as somebody that is not an SEO expert coming into these spaces, working with peers, right? Not clients, but like with peers, people in the space doing what I do, running an agency. There was just for a while, 2-3 years ago, Rank Math was just like the number one recommendation from everybody. I mean, it was the cream of the crop. It was really rising to the top. And that got me interested in trying it. And I have used Rank Math a little bit and have no complaints. Like I zero complaints about it. Again, results vary. Depends on the work you put into it. And I don't think I'm an expert in SEO on my personal projects. The stuff that we do for clients, I have someone else on my team that manages the SEO side of it if we sell SEO services.
Oh, you do. Oh, there you go. On to the one that I use. I use it on the WP Tonic website. I use it on a couple other websites that I own. And I've got no hesitation in recommending it to you. And that's SEO Press. It's like, it has like, if your Facebook posts or your Twitter posts or your LinkedIn, it will normally take the feature post image, but you can set it up with a separate image and it will, if Facebook and that, it will use that. And it's got some other on the pro version. It's 49 year for one site license. A 5-site license is 59 and unlimited is 149. I think these are good value, logical and fair pricing. And it doesn't affect the speed. It doesn't do odd things to the index file. It doesn't do odd redirects. It doesn't slow your site to treacle. It doesn't try and install a dozen add-ons for an SEO plugin, you need to install half a dozen plugins, God knows. It just does the job. I've been really happy with it. What do you reckon, Kurt?
The feature that you had pointed out to me is a big draw because let's just think about some of the social sharing tools, right? It's like Instagram pictures are squares and Facebook pictures are 16:9. YouTube thumbs are different sizes. And so the idea that you can have different elements for different places that it gets shared, I think.
I don't think it does that, to be honest. I might be wrong. I think it will just allow you to choose one image that will be different to the feature image.
Oh, well, then I take back everything I said. I'll just go with you.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about that. But I think I had the misfortune to choose all in one for that feature, but then I found out all the other baggage you got with it, and I've just stayed with this. I think there are social media plugins that will allow you to do the things that you... I think Brian Jackson's social media plugin is the one I would recommend highly for that. I can't remember the name of the plugin, actually.
Yeah, I used to use...
I'm not sure if he sold it, actually. I don't think he did. I think that and his optimization page speed plugin, they still have. And I quite like his social media plugin.
Yeah. I used to use a social media sharing tool called Sprout Social. And it would do, you could pick, it would resize your images based on the platform it was going to go to. It was really cool. But man, talk about an expensive tool. And I haven't found one since that does that and doesn't cost hundreds of dollars.
If I'm right about Brian's Jackson, I will put it in the show notes. I need to check that out. Because I always like recommending Brian because he's a great friend of the show and he's a really decent guy.
SEO
tools. I think, you know, Google Analytics, really powerful tool. There are some plugins that will link to Google Analytics, and in the front page they will give you a panel and give you the most important elements. That's how I use it, because it had an upgrade over a year ago, and it's got even worse than it was before, I think. I just use Google Search Console, and it gives me the fundamental data that I'm looking for, and it's free. You got to set it up when you've got a new customer's website and they haven't set it up, and you got to have a Gmail address. But after it's set up, it gives you some really good data, and it's free, and it's not the beast of Google Analytics. And be quite truthful, unless you've got a very large website or e-commerce, it's probably not worth the effort, to be truthful about it. But people would disagree with me. A paid tool that I paid for myself, and it was recommended by Brian Jackson to me, and I've had it for over 5-6 years now, is KW Finder. It's from Mangoose Tools. It's not ridiculously priced, but it's not the cheapest either. Basic is $49, Premium $69, Agency $129. I think it's actually a little bit more expensive than that. I don't know why, but I think I'm paying for the year a couple hundred dollars. And basically, you can put in a keyword phrase, up to 80 characters, and it will give you a list of websites that are ranking for that key phrase. And it will give you a domain difficulty score that, you know, and you've got to know roughly what your domain is. There's some free tools out there. Ahrefs will tell you, but there's some free tools that can tell you the domain authority anyway. And if it's very high, the competitive ranking, I don't bother. I aim for medium to low. It does mean the traffic that will be generated will be low as well. But I write quite a few articles. But like what we said in the first half, everything's up imploded anyway. So a lot of the metrics that you're utilising don't apply. The last thing is Ahrefs. Now, obviously you've got Rush and you've got Moss. I've found that most of the SEO experts that I respect use Ahrefs. It's not got the great, the prices are ridiculous though. I've got an account, I shut it down because I wanted to buy some other different tools. I might go back to it, but I just was using 1/10 of it. But if you really want a professional tool of the basket out there, but obviously we just had the announcement from Google that they're only going to show the 10 website. This will affect all these tools quite drastically. It starts the light. The problem with Ahrefs is it's not the cheapest, even at the lowest end. And they, I wouldn't say they cripple it, but they do cut down on the functionality quite brutally. And and so does the competition. So the light starts $129 a month, the standard $249 in advance, $449. So unless you're a real SEO agency, or you've got it's really important for your business, you're not going to pay those type of prices. So that's all I've got to say. What do you reckon, Kurt?
The pricing is what drove me away from it with the AREFs. To your point, I think you need at least the standard, because when you look at what's included, you just get so much more functionality with the standard, but then you're at $249 a month.
Yeah.
And that's for one user. And according to their pricing, if you want to add users, it's add five more users at 60 months, $60 a month each. That just turns into crazy money. And maybe I'm being a little too transparent on this particular episode. I'm not going to dive into it full time. And so I'm not going to spend that kind of money for something I might spend half an hour or 40 minutes a day on. You know, it just seems like a lot of money to spend for the results that I may or may not receive. Again, you know, results vary with the effort put in.
Yeah. I think that's
so all. Just being honest. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that could, you know, hook up to Google Analytics, install SiteKit as my plugin, and just get some basic exposure and try to make some educated decisions. And I'm more of the mindset of like what you mentioned at the very beginning, and that's varying the content. Like I'm really big on, I take a podcast, I take the transcript from the podcast, I get a summary done, I make sure I got some keywords in my title and my whatever. I add the original video, the summary based on the transcript. And I think to myself, hopefully that's enough organic material from varied sources that it's going to be treated like a legitimate piece of content.
Yeah, I'll give a little tip before we wrap it up. Internal links is important. There are some plugins. I forgot the one I use. And I do use it religiously. I don't check it as much as I should because you're supposed to edit them, but I just haven't got the time. But I think having an internal link structure, there's the concept of categories and silos. You have a main page and you have silo pages that around certain topics. It can get quite complicated. But, you know, I think mixing up, giving them signals that you are a expert or you are talking about a subject, podcasting. That's what WP Tonic does. WordPress, membership, videos, written content, going on other people's podcasts, posting on LinkedIn, posting on Facebook, posting on X, giving links to the search engine and the large learning models that you are regularly talking about the subject. And having a brand, we sell hosting, boutique hosting solutions.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to give all the signals I can that it's a legit business and we are what we say we are.
So from this episode, and maybe I should apologize in advance, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but from this episode, from a listener and a viewer standpoint, what's the first step to SEO, Jonathan? Is it listening to everything we said here? Is it trying to find an SEO expert that's not going to bankrupt you? And if you already have gone down the path and have an SEO expert, you know, you want to audit the results. You want to be like, are they actually doing what an SEO expert should be doing? Are you leveraging your internal links? Are you auditing that for efficiency? There's so much that goes on with SEO that I feel it's such a large topic. That's why I hesitate to call myself an expert. It's like, I kind of know what I'm doing, but I'm not going to call myself the expert. I'm going to have someone on my team that focuses on that solely because I think it's that important of a job.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think it's very difficult to hire somebody at the present moment because the whole area is in such a flux. I predict that the HubSpot have been very controversial. And like I say, it was HubSpot, their podcast, and they had the HubSpot conference recently. And they have been hammered. HubSpot's been absolutely hammered over the last year. It was one of the top websites when it came to search over a number of articles. But they had a very broad article publishing landscape. They just published articles because they got traffic about any kind of digital subject. And Google's looking now for expertise for non-AI content that proves that you know what you're talking about. Because otherwise, they're just going to go to Reddit. They're just going to, if they can't see anything, they're just going to find a Reddit thread and put that at the top of search. Or they go to YouTube. But YouTube, there's a lot of AI slop, but they're pushing back on that because they want to see a real human being on there. But it is in flux. This will calm down in the next year, my prediction. Yeah. The digital marketing industry will find ways to manipulate the large learning model results. They will become more expert on that and the results will be more clear cut. The problem is there, as this happens, I think there's a level of naive trust in the recommendations that AI are giving to people. And I'm not talking about them making mistakes. It's a black box in a way, and you don't know really what has influenced them to recommend a certain product.
Yeah.
As the marketers become more sophisticated in manipulating those results, people's confidence will diminish. I might be totally wrong here.
Yeah.
But I don't think I am. So it's going to be interesting times but I think there's a honeymoon period that we're in that people, I've got this recommendation from the large learning model, but as it becomes more evident that it's manipulated by very sophisticated digital marketers, I think your is going to diminish quite rapidly. What do you think? Do you think I'm just talking gibberish? Well, in some ways I have been talking gibberish, you know. I can't pronounce a word, can I?
Well, I sound like a hypocrite because I just told everybody that I've been working with LLMs to try to figure out my own.
I think what they were saying to you is about, you know, that it giving you the crux of traditional local SEO.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've implemented some of it, and I think some of it has helped. But
I'm talking about recommendations around product services.
Yeah, I can't help it, Jonathan. I go back to the idea of, does your content drive you as, you know, an anchor in your space? And I just find that when we work with clients, so many people are lacking in content. They haven't done the work. They haven't put in the reps, and they want results without having done the work or put in the reps. It's like talking to somebody who is, you know, obese and eats like crud, talking about how they, if they could just lose that 20 pounds, it's like, well, do something. It's the same in business. It's they want the results, but they haven't put in the work. And I think that SEO is an interesting conversation, but it only becomes interesting to the people that have the content and have done the work and can leverage it to establish their authority and get the eyes to their product.
Yeah, but you're totally right. But the thing I want to point out, SEO is a very long-term. You said, you know, to hire somebody, if they're going to help you produce content and do a review of the website, they're not – you're going to have to sign a contract for 6 months to a year at least.
Oh, yeah.
It might take 8 months before you see any real. They should produce a monthly report. It shouldn't be War and Peace. You're not going to read it anyway. They should be able to give you. But the problem is the normal metrics that they would utilize is all up in the air now. So it's a difficult. But all the platforms, I think I'm a member of a couple. Well-respected private Facebook groups that have got a lot of Facebook agencies. That's all up in the air. Yeah. That's internal. Some people are reporting great results with Facebook. Others, they get a great result and then it just falls off the cliff. Google, AdWords, I don't know what the situation there, but with AI snippets and AI overviews, obviously they plan to have product placement in the AI overviews. But the problem with that causes a bit of a conflict. Are you really going to say to me that they're going to be recommending separate products in the written AI overview than the products that they're listing on the right?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Do you? Or am I being too much of a cynic? Pardon?
Money does a lot of talking.
I'm a bit cynical that you're going to see that. So I think that's a bit of a problem. And then you got YouTube advertising. Something I might look at because Facebook is so expensive and it's in turmoil. But they're dealing with a load of AI-generated YouTube slop.
Yeah.
It's just they've been totally swamped. YouTube is trying to fight back because if it's really poor quality AI-generated slop, I tell them I don't want to see that channel anymore because I've had enough of it. And a lot of the main creators on YouTube have been complaining because they're making a lot less money, Kurt, from YouTube adverts because they rely on clicks, on views.
Yeah. Yep.
And their views have been going down because any video that's generating or any channel that's generating a lot of views you're getting these AI slot creators and they're just hitting those channels hard. So it's a very interesting times in the digital landscape in general, Kurt.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how the big change with the 100-page to 10-page thing works because I think that's going to impact the big players a lot because they were using detailed, long reports to filter things down, and now the amount of data that they were working with is substantially reduced.
Yeah. So, Kirk, what's the best place for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, I'm still active on LinkedIn. I'm there almost every day doing something. So Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there. So that makes that easy. And then Mañana Nomás for business. If they're interested in getting in touch, just go to mananomas.com, click the button, and we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. I want to point out, if you're listening to this podcast, we've got the Facebook group. I do a fantastic weekly newsletter. I've not been doing that for the past couple of months because I've had a lot on my plate, but I've been starting that up. It's really aimed at membership and WordPress, and it's just a great resource. So we've got the Facebook group. We've got the newsletter, which you can sign up for free on the WP Tonic YouTube channel and WP Tonic website. And we've got the YouTube channel as well, where I'm publishing a load of video. So we've got a ton of free resources for you looking at building a membership website. But I've got one other ask to ask you. If you're listening to this podcast on your phone, on Spotify or on iTunes, it's really easy to leave a review, good, bad, or indifferent. Both me and Kirk would be very appreciative if you could leave a review because it really shows the podcast to a lot of new possible listeners and viewers. So if you could do that, both me and Kirk would be very appreciative. We will be back next week around some topic that will help you build that membership community website and make it the success for yourself and for your family. We'll be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.